And a very good evening to you if you're just joining us. Our main story tonight, he's here. Donald Trump has arrived in the UK. He and his wife Melania flew into Stansted earlier this afternoon and are currently at a reception at the US Ambassador's residence in Regent's Park.
Well, during his trip, Mr. Trump will meet the Queen and the Prime Minister. On the agenda will be trade, security links, Brexit and the Middle East. But there is tight security in place as anti-Trump protests are expected.
But before he'd even set foot on British soil, the President had ruffled feathers again in Downing Street by questioning the government's latest position on Brexit. He was asked about last week's Chequers agreement at a news conference in Brussels.
I would say that, you know, Brexit is Brexit. It's not like, I guess when you use the term hard Brexit, I assume that's what you mean. The people voted to break it up. So I would imagine that's what they'll do. But maybe they're taking a little bit of a different route. So I don't know if that's what they voted for. I just want the people to be happy. They're great people.
So a question then about whether the government is really delivering what the country voted for. It all prompted this swift response from Theresa May.
We're delivering on the vote of the British people to take back control of our money, our laws and our borders, and that's what our proposal does. We're also ensuring that as we do that, we protect people's lives, livelihoods and their jobs, and that we, of course, deliver on our commitment to Northern Ireland.
So the President's heading to Blenheim Palace in Oxfordshire for a dinner hosted by the Prime Minister. Phil Mackie is there now. Phil, what's happening exactly this evening and who's going to be there?
Well, a lot of very important business people will be here as well as politicians, and it's an event that's going to be officially hosted by the Prime Minister. She and her husband, Philip May, will meet the President, who's due to arrive at about 7:30, and they will see various military bands. We've got the bands of the Scots Guards, the Irish Guards, the Welsh Guards, amongst others, playing them in before they go in to sit down and eat a dinner, which is quintessentially British. Starter of Scottish salmon, followed by Hereford beef, and finished off with strawberries and clotted cream on a quintessentially English summer's afternoon. The sun is baking down at the moment. I'm standing overlooking the courtyard where the President will arrive and be greeted by the Prime Minister. It's largely empty at the moment, but some of the guests for tonight's dinner are already here. We've seen them in their black ties and an intense security operation. Everywhere you look in the distance, there are police officers, some of them on horseback. There are armed officers on the gates here, and just outside the main gate, there is a large and quite vocal protest going on. Several hundred people carrying posters and banners. This is one of the signs of this visit. Lots of people are against Trump and they're making themselves known.
Thank you very much, Phil. Well, as we've been hearing, many of the people in the room at Blenheim Palace will be business leaders, another sign of the great emphasis the President puts on trade. So how should we view his approach to business? Get in touch with us as well on this one, 85058 and at BBC5 Live on social. Christiana is from Master of... Christiana Sherry, I should say, is from... That's quite good. She's Sherry. She's from Master of Malt, which bottles and sells Scotch whiskey and other spirits online, probably including Sherry. Sorry, Christiana, I should have read that earlier and I wouldn't have been so surprised by it. Charles Bonham is from Bonham & Turner, which makes and exports tools and components. And I take it you guys have differing views on whether Trump is good for UK business. Christiana, you first. What do you think?
Yes, so I'm not particularly supportive of his views on business that we've seen so far. I can only really speak from a whiskey perspective, obviously, a spirits perspective. And I think the tariffs that he's put on steel, and we've obviously seen the reciprocal ones from the EU and China, they're going to be really quite devastating, I think, to a lot of the craft distilling industry in the US and have knock-on effects to even our Scotch distilling industry here as well.
Why do you say that? Because they simply won't be able to absorb that kind of cost because they're smaller businesses.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Brown-Forman, which makes Jack Daniels and a number of other products, recently said that their prices are going to increase by around 10%. I think if you're a craft distiller and you're already working on tight margins, you're just not going to be able to absorb that at all.
Okay. And remind us again of what exactly it is within the distilling process and the making of alcohol that is subject to tariffs.
I mean, it's the alcohol itself. So there's a lot of there's duties and tariffs on alcohol products in a lot of places around the world. And it's just that the duty paid on American whiskey in particular. So we've heard a lot about the bourbon tariff. It's all American whiskey that comes to the EU and China now.
So this is interesting, Charles. I mean, from your perspective, you, as we said, make and export tools and components, but you don't deal in raw materials, for example, raw steel. So you are exempt from tariffs, are you?
No, we pay a tariff. The tariffs that we pay on our product, they're roughly around 4.5%. Pretty much between 4% and 5%. And that's been fairly consistent for years now, really, that the tariff that we pay on those.
Yes, you haven't been hit by the new one, is what I'm saying to you. The latest.
No, because that's on the raw material. And yes. Like I say, it's finished goods that we're supplying. So, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think then? I mean, I can't help but wonder. I know you're supportive of him as a business leader. You're saying he's very pro-business. He's good news. But if you had to face these extra charges, would you still be of the same opinion, do you think?
Well, no, I have to admit, I don't think I'd be too keen on paying 13-15% tariffs. I don't think that would please me at all if that happened. But overall, the thing that I like about Trump is, you know, he is supportive of business. I think one thing that gets overlooked so much is, so often, you know, we watch the media and we're led to believe that, you know, governments create wealth. Well, governments don't create wealth. Business creates wealth. And what we always need in the UK and the USA is we need government that supports business. And Donald Trump to me is someone who definitely supports business. And you know, since he's become president, you know, a lot of jobs have been created in manufacturing, and that, you know, that's the industry that I'm after, and that's for me and our business, it's that's, you know, a really good thing for us.
Christiane, it's fair to say that not all business leaders wanted to be at this dinner tonight. There's only been one, I think, that's publicly refused the invitation. I think that's Baroness Martha Lane Fox. And perhaps, unsurprisingly, the boss of Tata Steel. But we actually don't know if they were invited or not. It's interesting. Richard Branson's another one, who, of course, was not particularly kind about Mr. Trump and his book. So he wasn't on the list. If you got invited, would you be going? Christiane, would you be able to put your differences behind you and think to yourself, well, actually, this would be a really good opportunity?
No, I don't think I would go. I'm not supportive of his views on business, as well as many of his views. But I mean, just going back to what Charles was saying about jobs, I think it's mm-hmm. important to remember that distilling is a huge business in the US. It employs 1.5 million people directly and many more indirectly. So I think the potential for saving jobs in one sector is going to hit, and that's just one sector that's hit by tariffs. There are many, many, many more. And I think it's uncertainty that he's created, which is a business that's allergic to uncertainty. So it's never going to be a good thing.
I mean, that's a valid point, isn't it, to be honest? But at the same time, he would say that overall what he's trying to do is protecting America and putting America first. And while there are some areas of business that will be hit by this, people seem to be responding by and large well to him in business, Christiane, in the US.
Well, my view would be that if you're trying to address a trade imbalance, you need to invest and boost your exports, not clamp down on your imports, because that's obviously going to have a lot of negative effects. And I'd be interested to see sort of just how, if there is an opinion poll on just how many people are supportive of him. And I think we also have to remember that he is obviously the president of the United States, but his actions have ramifications all around the world. So, I do think that they have to sort of be looked at very cautiously.
I mean, his popularity is up on what it was before, but it was, you know, starting at a low baseline for an American president. Charles, what do you make of Christiane was saying?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it all goes by, you know, what businesses we're in. I mean, from my own point of view, our business has always had a really good relationship with America. I mean, we really value the relationship with America. I mean, if I can just tell you a story, if you don't mind. I mean, our business is 100 years old this year, and it was founded in 1918 by my great-grandfather. And in the war, we made parts for the Lancaster bomber, the Wellington bomber, the Hurricane, the Spitfire, and a lot of the machinery that these parts were made on came from America. And my grandfathers and my uncles, who were running the business at the time, but on VE Day, they're so grateful for the, you know, the support from the US. That, you know, they flew the US flag next to the Union Jack, you know, for the support that the US gave. You know, and when they sent the machinery over, it's all full of tins of food, and you know, it really was fantastic what the Americans did for us back then. And then moving on from that, in the 1970s, you know, we acquired a company where we then had a subsidiary in America, and it's just been such good business for us in America. And as a UK citizen who goes to America a lot, you know, I always find the American people so, you know, such a fantastic nation to deal with. You know, they're so friendly, they're so polite, they're so, you know, business-minded. They really are a fantastic nation to do business with. And one thing that we have to consider with this, you know, there's there must be hundreds and thousands of jobs dependent on this relationship that we have with the US. I mean, in both directions, on both sides of the Atlantic, there's so many jobs, you know, created from American businesses in the UK, UK businesses in the US. It really is a valuable relationship, and how wise it is, you know, when you have people on, like John Bercow in the Commons saying, oh, we ought to ban Trump from coming to the UK, and how, you know, how wise it is where we've got some guy and he's made an inflatable of Donald Trump as a baby. I mean, you know, in some ways, you know, we can look at the funny side of it, but there is so many jobs and so much trade done between these businesses. It's so valuable. And, you know, the thing is, you know, Donald Trump's a businessman. If we don't like what he's saying, then we've got to talk to him. We've got to negotiate. We've got to hustle. You know, that's how it is. You know, being being negative about it and protesting about it, I really don't look at that as the
well, Christiana.
The right way forward,
how
actually,
do you take that, Christiana? Then, and also, you know, the idea of that this trade war isn't going to last forever, and post Brexit, we actually could do with being on side.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd echo quite a lot of what Charles is saying, actually. I think that we do need really good relationships and we do need to come to a table and negotiate and sort of be very friendly about it. But I do think that the best way to trade is to have as few barriers and as few tariffs as possible. And I think we've just seen a huge step back from that recently. Mm-hmm. I think what I'd also add is that, no, we don't know how long the trade war is going to last. It could be months, it could be years. And I think coming from an industry like whiskey, where there's such a long time that it takes to develop these products, I mean, if we're talking about straight bourbon from the US, it's matured for a minimum of 2 years. A lot of products will be matured longer than that. So people are making decisions now that will last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. I know that's true for a lot of industries. So I think any level of uncertainty is really bad. And I think just getting around the table and discussing this is the way forward.
It's interesting to speak to both of you. And thank you for taking the time to come on the programme. Christiana Sherry, Master of Malt, which bottles and sells Scotch whisky and other spirits. And also Charles Bonham, who's from Bonham and Turner, which makes and exports tools and components. It's just gone 6:15.